Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Pastor of Reunion Church in Dallas, Texas, Richard Ellis. He'll take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, challenge, and encouragement. And in today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Of course, you can always listen to, download, and share this or any talk anytime on the website, richardellistalks.com. Then at the end of today's program, Pastor Richard himself will share an urgent need with you about the future of Richard Ellis Talks as we simply try to keep the lights on and continue to be a light of hope. So let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
All right, the title of today's message is Morning Glory, and it's not a flower. We're spelling morning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And I think in some ways, if it hadn't hit you yet, it will. I think in sometimes when something happens to your family, to you personally, in a church, in a community, in a nation, and in this case in the world, some things happen and you think, you know what, I don't want to think about it anymore. Then there's something that kind of comes over the nation. Now, there is a way to turn mourning into glory. And I know for a fact in this room alone and beyond this, people listening, I'm sure, there's one young man I know of in here, whether you're aware of this or not, who very recently, and he's here today, his wife has battled for a very long time with illness, and in the last few months, she died. And he said, well, that's not a good thing. He's got two little kids, and he's in here every week, and he's been in here every week for months and months and months, and dealing with this grief and with this challenge of seeing someone die, then she's gone, and now that mourning process beyond that. Now, the difference in his kind of mourning and in the world's kind of mourning is it is not just mourning. There is glory that comes with it. Because I know this man, and I know that his wife knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens to her physically, she's home. That's great news for him. That's all good for God and her and everybody else. But what about him and these kids that are left? There doesn't seem to be much. There's some joy, and we'll read some verses about this. But there's this time lag between these tragic events, and when one day not only does he see his wife again, but he sees Jesus, which is an even bigger deal, but where there's that reuniting. But there's this period of mourning, and to say that, well, you know, Christians shouldn't mourn and bad things happen, we all just praise the Lord anyway and keep marching, you know. Well, that's easy for you to say if it's not your wife, your husband, your child, your mom, your dad, your coworker, your loved one, you know, somebody that you know that this happened to. So there's this something that's happened, not just like that personally, this guy in this room, but there's something happened to our nation. And I, you know, you don't know where these things come from. I wonder sometimes, I think, well, I'll forget where I was on the morning of 9/11. I promise you, we almost go to every table in this room and you know exactly where you were, what you were doing, what was going on. And there are some people listening today, at least in here, who are old enough to know where they were Pearl Harbor. There's some, I guarantee you there's a bunch in here. I was only like 3 years old, but I remember when Kennedy was shot. They're running out of programming. They keep showing this show over and over and over. They showed that funeral all day long, the day of the funeral, all those events. So even that's embedded in my mind. And it's something that happens to all of us. But even more importantly than just hitting us, it's going to hit people around us who have no hope of anything. They hear somebody come on the TV, you know, the story of the guy on the plane who, you know, the last thing he said pretty much was, let's roll. And they went and took the cockpit. The plane went down. Well, he was a believer. His wife's a believer, and she gets up and talks about it, and you think, well, this, you know, she's just silly. How can she be so at peace and calm? Her husband's dead. You know, her children, these young children have no dad now, at least their dad is gone, and how can you have this calm? People don't get it, but as they see us work through this process and see us deal with these things, you have unbelievable, in the same way that at Christmas time, they're playing the music. You can pick up on the whole gift theme and talk about Jesus. There is the same opportunity here, I believe, to engage in these conversations where people are thinking and wondering. And I promise you, as long as there's life on the planet, until Jesus comes back, the question why remains. And I have no answer for that question. Except that somehow, some way, God appears to not be in control because he lets tragic things like this happen, but yet he's still in control. And somehow, a wife dying of cancer and going on to heaven brings more glory to him than being here. And somehow, you say, well, was God punishing our nation? Was God punishing those people in the World Trade Center, you know, to get at all of us? Is he just up there, you know, pushing buttons and going, I'll show them? You know, is he trying to crush us and be mean? No, but, you know, terrible things happen every day. and we don't have explanation. At some point, you have to get to the place where you say, you know what, God, I don't understand. And I don't get it, and I can't explain it to anybody else. But I do know this. If I can't trust you, I got nowhere to go. And either you are behind the scenes doing things that I don't get, whether I think you're directly behind it or not, or is just the enemy is allowed to do things. You know, it wasn't God that plowed planes into these buildings in Washington, New York, and set these things in terrorist minds to do. Somebody's behind that, and somehow God allows that. Because see, if he's going to stop that, then he's got to stop you today from cheating on your husband or your wife. If he's got to stop that, then he's got to stop you from sleeping with somebody you're not married to tonight. And then he violates all of our choices, all of our free will. Now we're just puppets. The amazing thing about this is we have free choice to do certain things, and there's consequence to that. And in this case, there's unbelievable consequence. And there is mind-boggling pain that goes on, not just in the lives of the, you know, the people that are dead, the people that are affected by the thousands and thousands, the families, the children, the moms, the dads. Anyhow, let me read you some verses out of the scriptures. I want to start in Psalm chapter 30, and I'm going to read through this whole chapter. Psalm of David here, Psalm 30, verse 1. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. And let me just interject here. If you're listening to me today, it's probably because you're still alive. And if you think you woke yourself up this morning, you're a fool. You say, well, it was my alarm clock. Well, I understand it could have been that or your kids or something. You didn't wake yourself up this morning. You're not alive because you decided I'm going to live another day. You know, I think I'll quit doing this. I walked through this morning. Catherine was still asleep, three-year-old. And I still catch myself looking over to her little body, these kids. She's laying on the bed, kind of lifeless. I don't go over and touch her anymore. But I watch her to see if her little shirt, her pajamas are moving. And then I keep going. She's still alive. And I walked in this morning, Elizabeth and Victoria sound asleep, waking up for school. And I looked at them, and you have this thought, what if they're not breathing? And I looked at both of them. They start stirring and pushing me away because they don't want to get up. And I know everything is fine. But all night long, I got to trust God to keep my kids alive because I can't keep them alive. And if I could stay up all night and all day and follow them around and watch them, I can't sustain their life. It is a gift every day. And when it says here, Lord, you've brought my soul from the grave, you have kept me alive. I'm alive and I understand why I'm alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Now let me tell you something. Only God can do that. Only the Holy Spirit of God working through somebody can take mourning, can take that kind of death, pain, mourning, and turn it into dancing. And the world doesn't get it. They don't understand how it is possible. How can you have hope? How can you have such tragedy and yet have so much hope? You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. In this day, when someone would die, they would put on literally, you know what a sackcloth is, a bag that's made out of sackcloth. They'd put on a garment that was rough, coarse. It was not pretty. It was not pleasant. It represented they were in mourning. You put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. You put gladness on me instead. And when they had parties, they had colorful garments they'd put on, completely different. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. God has a way of taking your mourning and turning it into glory, somehow, some way, when you trust him. There's a passage in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, where Jesus has gone back to his hometown to preach in the synagogue there. He grew up. He knew those streets. He knew those buildings. He knew the whole place. He went into that synagogue where he had grown up, sits down, and they hand him the scroll, a passage in Isaiah. He opens it up and starts reading out of Isaiah chapter 61. This is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. That's what Isaiah says. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Now see, what you put on your head back then as a symbol, and they'd wail and mourn. I mean, it was a loud, demonstrative thing. They'd put sackcloth on. Then they'd take dust and ashes, literally, and heap it on their head. Their head would be covered with ashes. The opposite of that, instead of the dirt and the ashes and that mourning, that, oh, it's this terrible thing that's happened. The other side of that was, I don't know that we have an equivalent to this unless it's cream rinse or shampoo or something. If you've ever had that feeling, you go get your hair cut and they lay you back in that bowl and you just pray they know where the hot and cold and how to mix them, because you're coming out of there if they don't. But whether you remember as a child, maybe your mom put you in the sink, laid you down on the counter. Some of you girls know what I'm talking about. I got girls laid out on the counter at the house sometimes and their hair's in the sink. You turn the garbage disposal on, half their head goes down the drain. You don't want to do that while their head's there though. It pulls real hard. But there is something, and I almost wish I could do this. If I walked up to somebody right here and I had just literally a bottle of oil and I said, close your eyes, and I started to pour that bottle of oil on your head, you would feel it hit and come down over your head, over your face, over your body. And there's something about that. They would anoint people in this way, whether it was for a special occasion or someone literally being anointed for ministry. There's a complete difference in that soothing feeling as opposed to putting dirt and ashes on your head. So he literally says this, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Completely opposite. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may glorify it. And when Jesus finished reading this passage out of Isaiah 61, he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, this is who Isaiah wrote about. I'm him. I'm it. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And this is what I came to do. And this is what Jesus did while he was here. And this is what, when the Holy Spirit came, what he does. And this is one of those deals you cannot explain to someone. And I don't want to embarrass the gentleman that's in the room now, but I've seen him, talk to him since his wife died. There's another guy that's been coming here for a long time. His wife died in the last year. When you meet someone who's a believer, it's not that they don't mourn. It's not that they don't miss their loved ones. There is just a joy. There's something in their eyes you can't explain. How can you still have joy and peace and have this stuff going on in your life and have so much tragedy? Don't you miss her? You know, it's sure all those things are true, but there's hope in the middle of it. And the world has no idea what this hope is about. And when they see that change in your life and in my life in the midst of mourning, that some glory comes from it, some good comes from it, they go, what is up with you? You're either smoking something I've never found, or you're just goofy. You're a fool because you haven't thought it through, or you've got something I don't have. What's up with you? And that is part of the witness that we have in the world to people who don't know him. Now, let me read you a passage out of John chapter 16. And there were a lot of things, you think, well, I don't understand a lot of things. Jesus had 12 guys around him. One of them, betrayed him and committed suicide. I mean, all of them weren't successful, even the crew that he picked. They were successful in that they did what they were supposed to do, but it wasn't good for Judas especially. But these guys have God in the flesh with them almost every day for 3 years. They're with him except for a few times he sends them off for ministry and they come back and regroup, say what happened. He's with them night and day. They sleep outside together. They're camping out. They're moving. They're going in boats and walking. And he sees them. They've got God in the flesh with them all the time and they still don't get it. So if you don't get it, you're not by yourself. And Jesus one day is speaking to them. He says, these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And oddly enough, this is what Shiite Muslims believe, that by killing us, they're offering God's service. They honestly believe that. They were willing to die, not kill, but literally die themselves. Now, lest you go somewhere and think, well, that's crazy stuff. What are you dying for? He said, I'm dying to have that new house down the street. You may be wasting your life trying to get it, but what is it you're willing to die for? Because see, if you ever find something worth dying for, you'll start living. So Jesus said to him, they'll put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time will come that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. I told you. Don't say I didn't tell you. It's going to happen, and when it happens, remember I told you. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Why would I say it then? Because we were together, but now something's going to change. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, well, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, capital H here, will not come to you. But if I depart, if I leave, I'll send him to you. But I got to go to send him. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Verse 16, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? What is he talking about? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he says? A little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I have said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly I say to you, listen to this, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You'll be crying and upset because I'm gone, I'm dead. But the world will be going, wahoo, got rid of him. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Now, I'm not sure who this is for, whether it's about 9/11, whether it's about somebody losing their wife or husband or something that's coming. But let me tell you something. This God is a God that can take mourning and turn it into glory and turn your sorrow into joy somehow, some way. And then he gives an amazing example that only a woman that's had a kid would understand. Jesus out of nowhere says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. Now you waited and eating the right thing, quit smoking, drinking Jack Daniels, whatever you quit, because you're pregnant. And you've taken care of this baby, but when your hour has come, you are not a happy camper. And I've been in there 3 times, seen this happen. I've heard horror stories of women that, you know, they got vocabulary words you never heard in your life. Get this baby out of me. You know, they are upset, screaming, hollering. It is not a good thing. So Jesus says, a woman, when she's in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Now that's Jesus talking. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And let me tell you something. You've heard this song maybe put this way. This joy that I've got, the world did not give it to me, and it cannot take it away. I'm not talking about being dizzy, goofy, happy. I'm talking about in the midst of mourning and pain and sorrow that you can still have joy. And Jesus said, you may have sorrow now, but I'm going to see you again. And see, that's the hope of anybody who's a believer, who's married or has family or friends, anybody who's a believer. I got friends in heaven. I got one of the best friends I've ever had in my life in heaven. But I don't sit around crying about it. I think about it sometimes and I get a little upset. But you know what? Just a matter of time, I'm going to see him again. I have no question about that. But I'm going to keep busy doing what I'm supposed to be doing until my time comes, because I'm not going to waste time thinking about something I can't change anyway. Every once in a while I mourn, every once in a while I miss him. Every once in a while there are questions I want to ask, and I can't ask him, but I'll see him again. And Jesus said to them, you got sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. You need to get something, some kind of joy that nobody can mess with, that nobody can take away from you. Now see, you can take my wife away from me, God can take my wife from me, but you can't take my joy. You can take my kids, but you can't take my joy. Now, will I be happy if you took any of those? Not really. But can I have joy in the midst of even being a little unhappy? You better bet. And I got proof in this room, table by table by table, because we can go around this room. Women haven't lost their husband to death. They've lost him to divorce, to some other younger, newer model. And they're not happy about it, neither their kids and anybody else. But you know what? I can find some joy in those eyeballs that you can't explain because they found a way to keep on living. Or men in the same category, lest we think it's all about men running off with women. Those men run off with women a lot of times, and those women are women. So, it's both sides doing this stuff. All right, let me read you one more out of Romans chapter 5. And there's tons. I mean, read the Bible, you'll find more. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That same Holy Spirit Jesus talked about in John 16. He came and he manifests himself. Guys, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have pain. You're going to have problems. But God works through all that. You think, well, I can't take it anymore. Not by yourself. But with him you can. And if you'll let it do its perfect work and go its course and the process follow all the way through, where it ends up is the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. There is a place where your mourning will turn to glory, not your glory, but God's glory. And everybody around you will know it. And the ultimate goal of any Christian, whether you know this or not, is to bring honor and glory to God. That is biblically the ultimate goal. It is not to win the lost, that glorifies God. But ultimately, it is for my life and your life to glorify God and point to him. And when you lose and the world thinks you're going down and somehow God turns it and you win, they can't explain it and God gets the glory. And that's why it is so important to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you and to let that hope be manifest in your life so people can see it and ask about it and you can share it and explain it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today, for your word. And I pray that you would not only comfort us, but that you would use us, Father, in the lives of people around us who have no comfort. They have no comforter. And in many ways, Father, only your children, in whom your Holy Spirit lives, experience this amazing inner comfort from the Comforter. And in some ways, Father, when we get near someone who doesn't know you, it's almost like they've got to use our blanket, Lord, to even get a taste. And somehow, when they get away from us, because you're in us and living through us, Lord, they go, what happened? Where did it go? Or they gather as we worship together in churches, Lord, but they can't keep it with them because you don't live in them. Because they've never opened their heart, Lord. They've never opened that door and asked you to come live in and through them as well. And they've never experienced that peace and that joy and the hope that we know through Christ. Father, it's an amazing gift that you give us of eternal life, but even more than that, of abundant life between here and heaven. And I pray that this week, as much as any week, Lord, this day, people would see that hope, would see the joy in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our financial, emotional, family, whatever job struggles we may have, that it would be so obvious to those around us in the midst of our tribulation that somehow you are teaching us and we are learning, we're teachable, and that you are bringing honor and glory to yourself through it, Lord. And they want to know who our God is. Open their eyes and their heart and their ears and let them know, let them be aware more than ever that they've sinned, they are a sinner, they've screwed up, they're never going to be good enough to deserve your love. But maybe for the first time in their life, they understand that Jesus died on the cross for them, that he shed his blood to cover their sin, to pay for their debt, that he was buried and raised from the dead to give them the gift of eternal life, and by your Holy Spirit to come live in them as well and comfort them and live in and through them, Lord, each and every day, to never leave them, never forsake them. Lord, use us this day, we pray. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for what you've done and you're continuing to do in our life. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. So many people like you tell us that Richard's unique way of boiling down God's truths and making his word clear and easy to apply to our daily life is what sets this program apart from everything else on your radio. It's been a beacon of honest and realistic ways to grow in our journey with Jesus. And just before we wrap up today, Pastor Richard has some urgent and important news to share.
Hey, this is Richard Ellis, and I just want to take a minute to kind of explain to you where we are and what's going on. Obviously, Jesus is the light of the world, but we're trying to figure out how to keep the lights on at Richard Ellis Talks. And that's where you come in. We have radio stations that provide the mechanism to broadcast it, and the time on there is not free. We have messages that we edit and put on the air, and that's what you hear. But to make all that happen, it requires money, and that's where you come in. We need your help. The listeners, that's all we got. Some of you have been listening for a long time. You pray for us. You're blessed by it. You refer us to other people, but it's time for you guys to step up and step in the game. So please let us hear from you. The world's in a mess and getting darker by the day, and we are trying to keep these lights on and keep proclaiming the good news of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So God bless you. Thank you for your support, for your prayers, and we look forward to hearing from you soon.
You can easily make a difference by going to the website richardellistalks.com. Just click on the simple and secure contribute page to become a valued financial partner. Please consider joining this essential effort in keeping the talks coming by literally keeping the lights on. Thank you for praying about this important need today. Your new gift is not just about keeping this program running. It's about maintaining a vital source of light and hope in a world that desperately needs it. The website, richardellistalks.com. And until next time, we look forward to come alongside you for more Richard Ellis Talks.